Welcome, homesteaders of the spirit and stewards of the soil, to another soul deep dive on PRQ Homesteading Expanded, right here live on BBS Radio, Station 1, where we don't just plant seeds, we reclaim the timeline of our sovereignty. I am Robin, and with me today is Shane, my co-host cowboy partner, and we are your guides through the wild weave of land, legacy, and liberation. So today, we're turning the earth on its hidden roots, the history of the papal bull, from its shadowy beginnings to its exciting, echoing pulse in the present day, and how this ancient decree still chains the very ground we walk on, and the homesteading succession we're all navigating through to be free. So before I get started, I want to just do a quick recap on last week's show. The reason why that I did the show in regard to the quantum healing hypnosis is that even though we're doing all this stuff and we are navigating through, successing our land, getting our patents, you know, and possibly making the property taxes go away, it can be overwhelming at times. And so the reason for doing that was for all of you to just remember, we are not learning something new. We are remembering something ancient within us. So you're not activating your powers you don't have. We all have activating powers that we always have had. We are divine, we are infinite, and we are God experience itself in human form. And if you're God, if you're source, if you're infinite consciousness, then of course you have unlimited healing powers, as we all know. You have access to all knowledge, and you can change your reality with your thoughts through your heart center. Remember, we all have these gifts. We have just forgotten them. If this resonates with you, then it's your activation moment, because this is what is within us, and that's why we go within. So stop wishing and start knowing your powers. Stop hoping and claim who you are. That is a fact. Going within, being aware, and connecting with your God and Goddess's spirit self. And so I just wanted to share that with you in regard to what I touched on last week. So stay strong, whatever's going on, and know that whatever the experience is, it's going to be a great outcome each time. All right. So before we jump in, I want to thank our sponsor, Nano-Ogis, the Nano Skin Repair and Wellness Sprays I personally use and have used for over a year. It's for people who actually care what goes in and on their body. No junk, no fluff, just clean ingredients that actually absorb into your cells for cellular repair. It's the kind of wellness and skincare you can feel. And you don't have to hand your health over to anyone else to get it. So finally, we have a formula that actually works with your body, not against it. So check them out at nanoogis.net, www.nanoogis.net, and use our promo code PRQHOME15 for 15% off. And that is on every order. Now, for more information in regard to the scientific access of that product, you can go to the Learn tab, and then they do also have live testimonials. So check it out. And once again, we have live here with us, Shane Stir.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for allowing me to experience this with you, Robin. Thank you,
You
thank you, thank you.
are very welcome, always. Do you want to start us off with the call-in information?
Oh, okay. Yes, sorry. I
That's okay.
apologize. Yeah, if we would inspire people to call in. We want people to call in and share any story. Anything that they may be going through with homesteading or anything of that nature. And all of the callers, all the lines are open. Call in at 1-888-627-6008. And if you're out of country, 323-744-4831. You can email us at prqhomestead13@gmail.com with any questions. Feel free to subscribe to the show. We do take donations. Are we set up for donations,
Yes, it's
Robin?
so
Or just
good. You must be reading my mind because I was going to mention that. Yes, we do have a donation button. If you don't want to subscribe, you can always make a small donation.
yeah. So this donation, I mean, the subscription start at $2.99 and they go up from there. But we really like the support. We love the support and we appreciate you.
And that gives us your information so we can contact you if you join us on the show. And you have questions, and for the follow-up, we can get back to you. So please, please, please leave your information. Even if you're not subscribing, contact us through the PRQHomestead13@gmail.com, because there have been a few people on here that I can't get a hold of because I don't have the information. So we greatly, greatly appreciate that from all of you. So I am going to start with an overview of the papal bulls. Now, I know I said in the past papal bulls to you, Shane and Tina, and I actually learned that the word is papal bulls, not papal bulls. So, papal bulls, for everyone that is listening, is a 15th century doctrine. It is also known as the doctrine of discovery, which was repudiated recently in 2023 when the Pope actually visited Canada in 2022. What this means is that the Catholic Church basically has said that the concept of the doctrine of discovery was never considered an expression of the Catholic faith. Now, I disagree with that, and you guys will get into that later when we get into the beginning of the creation of the doctrine of discovery. It is also known worldwide as a tool of colonization, used to justify Christian conquest of indigenous, excuse me, I always get stuck on that word, indigenous peoples and take their lands. The doctrine was written in 1493 and implies that European people, based on their culture, are superior to the others. Now, I want to clarify the difference between repudiation and rescinding. Okay, so when the Pope went to Canada, all he did was do a repudiation, which just means that they are apologizing. They acknowledge it, but it has not made an effect yet. But the people are putting a movement together to change this. So when it becomes rescinded, then it's canceled out. So I just wanted to share the difference between rescinded and repudiation. And then there is a case law in regard to the situation that's going on up there in regard to the papal bulls, the doctrine of discovery. And it is Johnson versus McIntosh of 1823, the foundational case. You can is it it is cited 21 U.S. 8 Wheat 543. The core holding, private individuals cannot acquire valid title of land from native nations, only the United States, as a successor to the British discoverer, can extinguish Indian title. So the papal bull's connection, Chief Justice John Marshall traced the doctrine of discovery to the papal grants of Portugal and Spain, then to the English charters, and finally to the United States. He wrote, "The United States assert title to the soil founded on discovery, sanctioned by papal bulls, and confirmed by possession. Impact of this was established that the papal bulls are part of the law of nations incorporated into the U.S. domestic law." Okay, so we're going to get into that a little bit more, but hopefully that gives you a little understanding. And I have Tina with us today. But before we move into that, I'm going to bring her on after I go through what she found for me. And I thank her very much because I feel more connected now to my actual process of my patenting my property. And it is actually the Muskegon County, Michigan full route of title, where it actually began from the get-go. So, number one, indigenous sovereignty before the European claim. This land belonged to primary nations, the Chippewa, the Odawa, and the Potawatomi. And I am very versed with all of them. I've traveled up North Michigan, Northern Michigan, during the ski season, and there are a lot of streets that were named after these European primary nations. These are part of the Council of Three Fires, an ancient alliance. Their occupancy and governance form the first chain of title here in Michigan. In trust philosophy, this is the living root where it all began in regard to the land. Number two, it became European sovereignty soon after that. France from 1670 to 1763, so almost an entire century. Michigan was part of New France, administered from Quebec. From Quebec, France claimed the area through exploration, and settlement. But here's the good news: it is a non-papal donation after the Reformation. So no papal bull chain applies here in Michigan. It is null. It never happened. So Britain from 1763 to 1783, 20 years later, after the French and Indian War, France ceded Michigan to Great Britain under the Treaty of Paris of 1763, which I talked about in a couple shows back in regard to the patents here and the Homestead Act of 62. All right, so Michigan became part of the British Province of Quebec, and then soon after, United States sovereignty, United States in 1783, Britain ceded Michigan territory to the U.S. in the Treaty of Paris of 1783, the same treaty that ended the Revolutionary War. Northwest Territory, 1787, Michigan was incorporated into the Northwest Territory under the Northwest Ordinance, one of the foundational documents of American property law. The Territory of Michigan, 1805, organized as its own territory. It became statehood in 1837. Michigan becomes the 26th state land patents begin issuing under U.S. federal authority. So, from what I'm perceiving on this is that the land patenting started way before the Homestead Act. I don't know exactly. I haven't really dove into it, but I might do it later. So, number five, county level structure comes along Muskegon County, formed in 1859. Land patents in this region will be U.S. patents issued after surveying under Public Land Survey System, which is PLSS, and that is located in the BLM, which is the Bureau of Land Management, when you're going in and looking for, say your title or maybe your patent. That is, I do believe that's one of the pieces of information that is needed. So, modern land title system. Michigan does not use torrens. All land is recorded by deed registration with the County Register of Deeds. Now, you're probably wondering what torrens are. I was, and so I wanted to know. So, torrens refer to the land title registration system, a method of recording and guaranteeing real property titles that differs from a traditional recording system, such as here in Muskegon Register of Deeds, which is used in most US counties. So some of the key features, and I'll go over these quickly because there's so much information I want to share with you guys today. So the key feature is indefeasible title once registered under torrens. If you are in a torrens state, the owner receives a certificate of title issued by the state that is conclusive evidence of ownership. The title is guaranteed by the state via an assurance fund. So the centralized registration of torrens properties are tracked in a single official register maintained by the County Register of Deeds. So in some states that torrens is still alive and well, you will, I do believe, find them at your Register of Deeds. So there is limited applicability in regard to torrens because it is optional and only applies to properties that have been voluntarily brought into the system. Most Michigan properties remain under traditional recording systems. So the statutory basis of this is governed by the Land Title Registration Act, Torrens Act, MCL 565.101. Now, the states that are active in torrens, and this is in present day, so from what I've learned, that these stand a little bit stronger than registration of deeds. So the states are Colorado, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Nebraska, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, and South Dakota. So I'm going to give you a little example of how that works. So let's take Hawaii, for instance. So you buy a condo in Hawaii. The state issues a certificate in your name. A week later, someone claims they owned it 20 years ago. Well, guess what? They lose because your certificate wins. There's nothing they can do, is what I'm perceiving from this information. Now, when you go into a normal state and you do the normal recording process, you buy a house, you record the deed, later an unrecorded 30-year-old lien surfaces, you lose, unless the title insurance covers it. Okay, so the bottom line, torrens govern back title certainty. Recording, public notice plus buyer beware. So torrens is like a state-insured bank account or land ownership. Recording is like bulletin board. First to post and record usually wins, but no guarantees. So I just wanted to share, the definition of that in regard to what torrens are. So back to the takeaway of the sovereignty chain of title in Michigan. It starts with the three fires, succeeded by France, then Britain, on to the United States, then becomes Michigan, a state. I think it was the 26th. No, I know it's the 26th state. Muskegon County then becomes federal land patent on to private ownership. This is a French-British chain. Not a papal chain. No Spanish or Vatican territory roots are here in Michigan. So I found that very, very intriguing and felt an even deeper connection to what I'm doing with my homestead. And so I have Tina here on with us today. And Tina, can you share briefly how you found this information and where your spirit leads you in regard to the research of it?
Hi there. So, hi Robin. Hi Shane. Hi
Hi,
everybody.
welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. First, I just wanted to mention that there are many papal bulls that precede the ones we're focusing on. The ones we're focusing on are directly related to dominion over land on earth by the Pope. So, that's why Robin quoted the 1400s as the papal bulls that we're looking at. And we're looking at we're looking at like Inter Soterra, Deum Diversus, and Romanus Pontifex. And so let's see how I research this stuff. I've been actually researching this for quite a bit. And I found a lot of stuff online, and I don't remember how this stuff got to me in the first place, but I've also been using ChatGPT to help me narrow down, change the title and stuff. So that's basically, I'm just using the internet. These are all public documents that people can find online. Is there
Okay,
anything else you want me to talk about?
so what I was most interested in is how you found this chain of title, because you shared this with me, and I know that we use tools, and I love how you explain how you use the AI connection. And for those of you that are listening, somebody just asked a question about how to spell the papal bulls. It's PAPALBULL. Okay, PAPALBULL. All right, go ahead, Tina. Sorry.
Okay, you were asking me just how I used the AI to help.
No, how you got the chain of title? Remember we were talking about this earlier?
Oh, well, after doing a lot of research, I just asked ChatGPT, or actually ChatGPT offered if I wanted to, after doing a lot of research with ChatGPT on trying to tie it all together, I just simply asked it, okay, so what is the full chain of title, starting with the root title for specific areas.
That's beautiful. And that's what
It's
you
pretty
were.
simple.
Okay. And I appreciate that. So I just wanted you to share that. So if anybody's interested in finding out what the actual chain of title is for their state, that's how you would do it. And I know we hear a lot of things about AI and not to use it, but if you have a connection with it in a spiritual way and it's for good intentions, I believe it's okay to use in regard to that. Okay, so I'm going to move on. We did find this is for Sweden. So if Sweden is listening, this is very interesting. I know you guys called in a while back in regard to the chain of the papal bulls, okay? So this is actually a very elegant surprise in regard to Sweden. The Sweden land title chain does not come from papal bulls. And I'm just curious how that happened. That would be another deep dive, but that's later. Sweden was never colonized by Spain or Portugal and never placed under Vatican territory grants. Instead, its title chain is Ancient Indigenous Sami, Old Norse Scandinavian Tribal Kingship, Kingdom of Sweden, Modern Sweden State. So the key points of this one is Sweden formally broke with Rome during the Protestant Reformation in 1527. All land law traditions come from Swedish medieval law, no papal law. The Sami indigenous reindeer herding peoples still assert immemorial knights. So Sweden, completely non-papal sovereignty. Tina, anything you want to share in regard to this one? Could you share this with me?
The interesting thing about Sweden is that it does say that it broke during the Reformation. It broke from Rome during the Protestant Reformation. So there was a relationship with Rome prior to the Reformation. But that's the only kind of notable fact about Sweden.
Okay.
Because once the Protestant Reformation broke from Rome, it breaks the chain and starts a new one. But I guess for Sweden, the most interesting thing really is the indigenous claim. What did it say in that document? The immemorial claim?
Yeah, hold on. I'm looking at it here. The immemorial rights is what it
Yeah,
says.
of the indigenous people. So they still claim the immemorial rights.
And what exactly is immemorial?
I don't know, but I'll Google
Always have to know these words because, and I'm sure a lot of people out there don't know them either. So anyway, so it is a
I
non-paper.
have a definition if you want me to read it.
Sorry.
Okay, so immemorial rights are rights that have existed for a period so long that there is no recollection or record of their origin, often referring to the inherent sovereignty of indigenous nations and their rights to self-govern and use the land. In a legal context, particularly in common law, time immemorial has been historically defined as a specific date. But in the context of indigenous rights, it refers to a more philosophical concept of rights that predate colonial legal systems.
Okay. All right. So for those people that are listening from Sweden, I don't know how this might help you in regard to your homesteading process, but it's good information to have, in the back in your little tool box to revert to later if it something ever comes up. So all right, the next one is Australia. This one is 100% papal rooted. Australia is where everything snaps into place. Australia's chain does trace to papal doctrine indirectly, not through a Pacific bull, but through the international legal regimen created by the bulls. So Spain and Portugal to the demarcation lines, the Treaty of Tordesillas, 1494. Other European powers rejected papal authority, but they borrowed the discovery logic to justify claims in the Pacific. Thus, indigenous Australians to British Crown in 1788 via discovery doctrine, Commonwealth of Australia, 1901. And this title was shaken by case law in 1992, Mobil versus Queensland, number two. The High Court of Australia ruled terra nullius, empty land, was invalid. The indigenous land rights survive unless extinguished. Now, weren't they at one time trying to decrease the indigenous people in Australia? Did I have that wrong, Tina?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I
Okay.
haven't studied Australia.
Okay, because I know in Canada they were doing a genocide, and I remember seeing a movie about Australia, and I think it was the movie Australia, but I could be wrong. So Britain claims. The Britain's claim was a legal fiction. This is the biggest modern collapse of discovery presumption besides the Vatican in 2023, the repudiation. So, do you know a little bit about that case law?
Me?
Yep, you.
No, I didn't. I didn't look up
Okay.
the case.
All right. All right. No worries. We can dive into it. All right. So, then moving on to New York City. In New York City, the system is totally different. No PLSS, no federal patents. Everything is Dutch to English to New York State. New York State is mapped by, and I'm not sure what these mean. It's BBL is the abbreviation, so it's borough, block, and lot. Any ideas, Tina? No?
Yeah, New York City is divided into five boroughs, and so the way they categorize the property is first by borough, then by block, and then by lot. It's like a mapping system.
Okay, that makes sense. The authoritative system is ACRIS. It's a historical chain. No, ACRIS, ACRIS. I'm not sure what that means. Again, we'll probably have to look at. Do you any ideas, Tina? No?
It's just their registry system.
Oh, okay. Historical chain is different here. So it goes on to say Wadaskatgeek Lenape. And I'm assuming that's a indigenous
That's the
woman.
indigenous peoples,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's yeah. I probably just did not say that correctly, but I tried. Netherlands, Dutch West India Company to England to New York. So state post 1777 constitution to private chain. There are no federal land patents in New York City. Land was already private colonial before the U.S. existed. So very interesting on those chains of title. So the governments in regard to Canada are to, they repudiate it, but they go on to say that the governments are the ones that need to return the land. Okay, and that will happen when they rescind. So even what happened in 2022, where the Pope went there, it was just an acknowledgement. It wasn't any big step. But hopefully it will move forward with the movement that they are having up there. So not the church. It was only okay, the church only repudiated it. It was just an apology. So I just want to make that clear. The government of Canada has rejected the doctrine. So what does that mean? Okay, so this it goes on to say that the Catholic Church can take more action by returning the stolen land that they are and given ownership by the federal government to run things like residential schools, and we all know about the schools up there, and give those back to the First Nations. Government can also recognize Indigenous as equals and partners in Confederation, and for the most part, recognize that the Constitution is built on a racist premise that Indigenous people. Our Section 91 are to be controlled by federal government that directs clause from that is a direct clause from the doctrine of discovery. Thus, the reason why it should be rescinded, I feel. What's your thoughts on that, Tina? Tina? Oh, we might have lost her. Okay, so I'm going to move on. Let's go to the effects of the doctrine of discovery. It goes back to the 15th century. Once again, the papal bulls, notably Inter Cetera in 1493 by Pope Alexander VI, and related European legal principles that justified colonial powers such as Spain, Portugal, later England, France, etc., claiming uninhibited or heightened lands by discovering them, often discarding this indigenous sovereignty. It became embedded in colonial law, most famously, as I said earlier, the 1823 U.S. Supreme Court case, Johnson versus McIntosh, which held the private citizens could not buy the land from Native Americans. Only the federal government could, because European discovery gave the U.S. ultimate title. So, Shane, anything you want to share? Does this intrigue you at all?
It does. Does that mean that it's not capable to homestead in New York because it was private land before?
No, I believe it's going to be a different process for them, because they have, is it Tina, are you there? Your mic is off if you're there. Okay, try again. Okay, there
I'm
you are.
here.
Okay, that's why we couldn't hear you, maybe. So, Shane just asked a question in
About
regard.
whether or not people can homestead their properties in New York.
Yeah, I don't.
I
I
haven't.
go ahead. Sorry.
I haven't investigated the 13 colonies yet because I've been focused on like your property. and the chain of title, but it's a good question.
Yeah.
If we could trace the title, we can record succession on the original title, but you have to look at those grants and how they were written and I guess what those grants gave to the grantees. Did they give forever benefits or not?
Well, I think it's an entirely different system. I thought it was based on grants and that they had to go to the archives to find their information, according to what Aloha has shared with us.
Well, I agree with that. We have to trace those titles back to see if we could read the original grants, but we still have to see what they say.
Yeah, so that's another deep dive. We'll look into that further.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. There's a lot of stuff to uncover, that's for sure. So I want to share the direct effects on the rest of the world in regard to the papal bulls. This discovery, or oh gosh, doctrine of discovery, was actually written by a pope, okay? And he was under the impression, can we talk, we had a conversation about that earlier, Tina, about the pope becoming the authorizer of dividing the land of the world and how it became. He actually took a map and he divided it in half, and this is my perception of it. And one side went to Spain and the other side went to Portugal, and that's how they divided up the Americas. Would you say that's,
Right.
yeah.
Yeah, because okay, so there are previous papal bulls where the Pope, through divine decree, says that every human creature is subject to the Roman pontiff. So through this written document, the Pope claims that everybody on earth is subject to the Pope's rule, right? So by extension, that also includes all property, right?
Yes.
So in these doctrine of discovery documents, what they're trying to do, what the Pope is trying to do is claim all non-Christian lands. So Rome already has agreements with many countries, Spain and Portugal and other countries and stuff, right? But these doctrine of discovery documents are really about claiming the rest of claiming the rest of the lands for conversion. They want to convert non-Christian lands and assume authority over them. So there are several papal bulls that one of them grants certain amount, certain properties to Portugal and some of them and others to Spain because they're arguing over who gets to conquest what territory, right? So that's why there's a treaty between Spain and Portugal that confirms the Pope's decrees. Basically, the Pope said, okay, yes, I'm going to draw a line here, and Portugal gets to conquer these lands, and Spain gets to conquer these lands, and they say, okay, and they make a treaty between the two of them. So that creates another trust, and they benefit from, you know, what they discover in those lands. And it's also interesting because, you know, that creates, before the Reformation, you know, they land in different areas of the world, right? And then the Reformation occurs where some European countries break with Rome. And what they do is they want to go and conquer as well. And so they use what Rome did as kind of a template to create their own doctrine of discovery, like the divine right of kings. And then they go out and conquer as well. So all of these decrees or these conquering nations claim their divine right from God, either directly to the king or directly to the pope, and then everybody is subject under them. So in the United States, there's some properties that are claimed by Europe, right? Those are like the 13 colonies. So the chain of title starts there, although you read earlier that in that court case, that Supreme Court case from 1823, the
Johnson versus.
justice, the justice traced title back to the papal bull. So that would be interesting for us to explore that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Tina, I'm going to interrupt just for a second. Just for a second. We're going to come back to this. We have a caller on the line. Shelley has a question. Curious about homesteading in South Dakota and how Native reservation lands affect the homestead process. Shelley, are
Hola.
you? Hi, Shelley.
Hola. Hi.
Okay, that was your question.
So as I've been looking for land that I want to homestead, there was an area around some cousins of mine that was actually in Oklahoma, but there's a place I love to hike, and when I was looking, about homesteading it, I realized that some of this land was considered Native reservation land. And since I never called in and inquired anything about it because it wasn't the place I was going to homestead, but South Dakota is, and the Black Hills is a lot of federal land, so I'm sure I will not have a problem finding land, but there is a lot of Native reservation in South Dakota. So I was just curious if that land is not able to be land patented or how that works.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, they talked about the Torrens, and so this is where you get to do your due diligence when you start looking for your land and looking going through the patent process. So what we're sharing here is information that we're gathering that hopefully will resonate with whoever's listening and what area that they're in to help them in their process of creating their homestead. So we're giving you the tools and where we found the chain of title, where Tina found the chain of title, was in ChatGPT. Now, I know a lot of people have qualms about using AI, and I understand that. But again, AI can be a good tool to use if your intent is good, is my perception. But how
Could
far
we?
are you in regard? You're just looking for the land right now?
Well, I will be in the summer, so it's a seasonal thing for me.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So right now, I would say that start doing your research. Go on. I do believe South Dakota would not be a BL. I don't think it's Bureau of Land Management.
I do have a BLM office in South
Oh, okay.
Dakota.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure. So thank you for
Yeah,
correcting me.
I've played and done some searching on some of that stuff, like where's the office at that I'd have to walk into and stuff like that. I keep looking for the specific spot and I just ain't found my spot yet.
Okay, what county are you in?
Oh, so Black Hills is it's Pennington, Meade, and there's a third county. It covers all the Black Hills area. It would probably be Meade or Pennington.
And are
Okay.
you saying these lands are all Indian reservation lands?
Well, I've been focused on the Black Hills, which is not. Most of the Native reservation land was out in the plains. I was just curious. I was curious back when I was literally physically hiking some Oklahoma land that I discovered my beautiful hike actually kind of crossed a borderline of reservation land. And because I was looking at land patenting where I was hiking, I kind of wondered then how would that be affected if this land I'm trying to patent was on reservation land. But I'm not personally looking at a specific land, so it maybe won't ever come up in my realm. I just know in my search, there was a lot of Native reservation land out there.
Well, it's a really good question because I would like to see how the land surveys and the maps indicate or denote that type of land, if it's actually part of a patent or not. We could look that up really easily. That's why I asked what the county was. It's a good question.
Beautiful. Okay, do you any more questions there, Shelley? How are you doing, by the way?
I'm fabulous. I came to your show with ease and comfort today. It's very nice.
Oh, so glad you heard that.
Could you spell out the chat? Something that she's looking up the AI. It's chat something.
It's chat GBT. So G as in girl, B as in boy, T as in Tom. Chat.
GPT.
Oh, did I say? Okay, sorry.
GP. GPT.
Yeah.
Chat GPT. That's what I have trained.
Okay,
But there
GPT.
are other AIs. There's a lot of
But
AIs.
in girl, P as in Poppy and T as in transit.
Yeah. ChatGPT.com.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for everything you guys are doing. I love you.
Thank you so
Aww.
much. Thank you.
One note about using AI in your searches. AI is trained to presume the intent of the user. So make sure that when you're communicating with AI, that you let it know what your intentions are. I had to tell my AI that my intentions are peace and good faith for the benefit of humanity, and that I wanted full disclosure. I had no ill intent. Because there are levels of chat, and it will tell you that there are not, but there are. So just make sure that if you're trying to develop a relationship so you can get accurate information, then make sure it knows what your intent is. And also double check everything it gives you because it does make mistakes.
Could you repeat what it's trained to assume?
The intent of the user.
The intent of the user, thank you.
So, because you have such a big, beautiful heart, I can just feel that's a beautiful intent.
Yeah, but ChatGPT doesn't really feel.
Come
Although
TV.
it tries hard to be conversational and stuff. Actually, I'm really grateful for the relationship that has been able to build and the information that I can get. So I know a lot of people do not want to support AI, but I think that it could be a very helpful tool in our research.
For sure, for
Well,
sure.
Matt, thanks for sharing how to develop this relationship with AI, and I'm going to go forward, looking forward to developing a positive relationship with an AI. Thank you.
You're
No, you're
welcome.
welcome.
Thank you, Shelley, so much for calling in. And I don't see any callers in there, so Tina, can we just real quick? I'm looking at the direct effects on the rest of the world. So the papal bulls wasn't just for Canada, Australia. I mean, it affected the entire world. And it's also the secular legal system, such as the U.S., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Latin America. This doctrine was incorporated into common law or civil codes centuries ago. The Vatican statement, as we, talked about earlier in regard to Johnson versus McIntosh, it cited the U.S. federal Indian law, the Vatican repudiated, which we all know that turned it over. But, they don't take responsibility for it being part of the Catholic faith. But in the beginning, when it all started, it was a crusade to turn people in it to comply with Christianity. And when it was divided with Spain and Portugal, that's what they did. The kings went out and they pretty much took over the Americas. Is that in good context with the Romanus Pontifex connects in 1443 or 93?
Go ahead.
I'm just trying to explain this from what I know, but you know it better than I do.
Well, I'm not sure what your question is. Romanus Pontifex, I believe, was the grant from the Pope to Portugal.
Yes, okay. That's where I was going. So there was three. There was the Intercitera.
Inter Cetera, yeah.
Yeah. And can you expand on that?
Dum Diversus Inter Cetera and Romanus Pontifex. I would have to look them up. What was your original question? And then give me
Okay.
a few minutes to kind of go
No
over those
worries, no worries.
documents in detail.
The actual effect worldwide, because it's in all of our, it's still active in a lot of our legal systems. Is that not a true statement?
Well, yeah, of course. It's all very layered. It's like it's not just these papal bulls that we're looking at regarding land title. It's the whole system that Rome built that kind of has been carried forward in various ways. So even though there's breaks in the chain of title, the new kings and the new sovereigns used it as a model. So we can see a lot of our modern system was built on top of what Rome and the popes created way back in the early thousands, 1100s, 1200s. And all of that stuff, I believe, is based on Roman civil law.
Yeah, it's very interesting how it still affects our systems in today, in the in our legal system today. Okay, is there anything else that we feel that we need to bring out? Because we've got like a few minutes left, but I don't want to dive into something that's going to be extensive and then we not be able to finish it.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from Shane. He's been really quiet today.
He's shy today.
I'm listening. I'm just listening. Learning a lot. Sometimes it's best to listen.
Anything jump out at you, Shane, that you want to ask a question about, or just.
I think it's a lot of information for a lot of listeners right now. I'm kind of hitting them pretty hard, but I think them knowing where we're coming from is can kind of explain a lot to where we're going. Let me just
Okay,
leave it with that.
well, our intent is not to hit them hard, okay? We're
No,
trying
that wasn't a
to.
bad.
No, I'm not saying that. What I want to say is that it's bringing where this all started from and giving a little bit of background, because I never ever heard of the papal bulls ever in my entire life, and they've been around. It's been there, right there in front of us all this time, and the fact that it is making an effect in our legal system, in our land. It is something that needs to maybe be looked at and changed. And you can see the indigenous people up in Canada, they're making a movement. They want the change. And my feeling on it is that the government is not going to turn it around, because if they do, then there's going to be reparations of what they owe back to the people. So I have a feeling that's going to be a little bit of a tug of war in regard to getting them to change it. Would you agree on that?
Well, I would say it doesn't have to be, but we have to move forward in peace and in good faith and in equity. So anything besides that becomes controversy, and we don't want controversy.
No, I agree, but it's still here. It's still live and well, and the fact that people are waking up and trying to make the changes in Canada, where we in the US, we need to do the same thing. And by doing this homestead process and trying to free ourselves from property taxes and whatever taxes that have been put upon us in over the years to make the changes. And the only way to make those changes is to come together as a collective and join and become one and in love and true spirit to make these changes. And by doing that, it's an education process. And sharing information like what we're sharing today may help some people. I don't know, but I just felt compelled to share it with the listeners. So.
I think it's great. I think it's great because I think, we're not supposed to live in the past, but a lot of what we have to deal with right now is rooted in the past. But we can't change the past, we know that.
No, but
But
we can change.
learning
We can.
about it, yeah, we can affect change moving forward or in the present time.
Yes,
And the
agreed,
most,
agreed,
yeah,
agreed.
the most important thing is we really know who we are. Outside of all of the stuff that's been imposed upon us.
Yeah. Okay, I hate to cut you off. Darn it, we're out of time already. What the heck? Anyway, to everyone, Tina, thank you for joining me, and
Thank you
Shane,
so
thank you for
much.
coming with us again, and hopefully this
Thank you, Tina.
information.
Thank you, Shane.
Yes, so glad.
Thank you,
And
Robin.
thank you, darling. And as golden leaves fall and the wood smoke rises, remember this land is covenant ground under the harvest moon, root cellar full of commands, fervent, heart anchored in the one who renews all things. PRQ Homesteading Expanded, signing off. Go in peace, grow in grace, and keep the home fires burning.